Hey, good morning, everyone. How are the early risers doing? Thank you for getting up early this morning to worship with us, and I hope you've experienced God through our worship through song. Hey, if you happen to be a guest here, we're so glad you're here. My name, by the way, if this is your first time, is Brian Anderson. I'm one of the pastors here at the Vineyard. I'll be giving the message in just a moment. Before I do that, a couple of things. First of all, the tax credit that you just saw from Vineyard Community Charities, that actually is wrong. The amount is wrong. It's actually gone up. The state of Arizona increased it for all state charities this year. So it's actually $800 for married couples. And I can't remember what the single amount is, but they would know out in the VCC, the thing out there that we're doing, the Walk for Compassion, so you can check that out. Really a great thing. If you don't understand it, get one of those little slips that tells about it, because you can either give the state of Arizona that money, or you can give it to help people through our food and clothing ministry. And it's not a tax deduction, it's a tax credit. It's a dollar for dollar tax credit. So it's really, really a great deal. Before we get into the message, we're going to also receive our offering. And if you want to get a sort of a head start where we're going, if you want to open your Bible, click on your app to Ephesians 2, verse 10. Ephesians 2, verse 10 is where we're going to begin. And so let's have the ushers please come forward. I'd like to pray for the offering in a moment, and also pray for the scriptures as we read them, that God would use them to change our lives. And by the way, as the ushers are coming, I just want to thank those of you that give financially to God through our church, and remind you that when you do that, you really are helping so many people in so many different ways. You just saw on the video screens just one of the major outreaches that we do to our community, the one coming up for Thanksgiving, where we literally help feed 5,000 to 6,000 people a Thanksgiving meal by what we give them, so they can take it home, have their family, and actually cook their own Thanksgiving meal. It's a great, great outreach, and so I hope you'll participate in that. But that's just one thing that we do to help our community and be a blessing. So when you give to God through our church, you're really, really blessing lots and lots of people. So may the Lord bless you as you give. Let's pray for the offering, and then let's open our hearts to God and ask God to speak to us out of the Bible. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to give. And as we give back to you, Lord, we do pray that you would take what we give and you would use it to change the world, just one life at a time. Thank you for the blessing that we can be to our community by what we give. And so I pray that you would not only bless our gifts as we give them, but you would also bless us for our faithfulness in giving. And Lord, for those that are looking for a job right now, Lord, we pray that you would open up the doorway for those that are out of work and want to find work. God, help them to find the work that you want them to have and that they want to have as well. And now, God, as we look into the Bible, we pray that you would make the Bible speak into our hearts supernaturally. We do our best right now, Lord, to put aside anything that might distract us from hearing what you want to say to us through the scriptures. And I pray for myself, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would fill and empower me with the gift of teaching so that I would teach the things that you want me to teach. And Lord, if there are things that I've not thought about for this message or studied for this message, and yet there are things that you want me to communicate, then I'm asking that you would drop those in my mind as we go along, because we truly want to hear from you, Lord. So come and have your way, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you remember the name Elvis Presley? Anybody remember Elvis Presley? Most of us do. How many of you could sing at least one line from an Elvis Presley song? Raise your hand. All right. All right, now which one of you wants to come up on stage and do that right now? You ain't nothing but a hound dog. You know, some of you don't know this, but I actually was an Elvis impersonator for a number of years. I worked my way through grad school by being an Elvis impersonator. Hey, take a look, there's a picture. Totally true. Totally true. Well, obviously, Elvis Presley had enormous success. And yet, by most accounts, Elvis Presley lived a very unfulfilled life. And he was actually a very unhappy man. And at age 42, Elvis Presley died of obesity and drug dependency. And in an interview with his wife, Priscilla, she said this: Elvis never came to terms with who he was meant to be or what his purpose in life was. He thought he was here for a reason. Maybe to preach, maybe to serve, maybe to save, maybe to care for people. That agonizing desire was always with him, and he knew he wasn't fulfilling it. So he'd go on stage, and he wouldn't have to think about it. I wonder how many people in the world are sort of like Elvis. They have a sense that they're here for a reason. They're put on this earth for a purpose, but they have no idea whatsoever what that purpose actually is. How about you? Is that the way deep down that you feel? Do you know you're here for a reason? You're here for a purpose, but you really have no idea what exactly that purpose is? Well, I know at least what part of your purpose in life is. Part of your purpose in life, at least part of it, is to serve God. Because the Bible says that you were shaped to serve God. I had to turn to Ephesians 2:10. Paul says it this way: For we are his, God's, workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what we were created for. What's those next two words? Good works. We were created for good works, which God prepared beforehand, meaning before we were ever born, so that we would walk in them. See, before you were ever born, God planned you in advance, and God knew what he wanted you to do with your life. See, he shaped you, he molded you, and he created you to do good works. All through the scriptures, God says that we're created to contribute to the world, not just consume, but to contribute. You weren't put on this earth just to take up space. You weren't put here just to sit around and watch TV and eat Pringles all day. No, God put us on this earth to make a difference. And he uniquely wired each one of us with different gifts and different abilities so we can make a difference on this earth. And the Bible talks about the fact that God has given each one of us a very unique shape. And as I walk around our church family in the lobby and so forth, some of you have a very unique shape. Some of us do, don't we? But I'm just sort of teasing. I'm not talking about a physical shape. I'm talking about the shape that God has given us on the inside. Rick Warren is the senior pastor of Saddleback Church in Southern California. He has an acronym that we use here at the Vineyard, and that acronym is SHAPE. We actually have a class that we call our SHAPE class. What does SHAPE stand for? Because we all have a unique shape. Well, the SHAPE, that word stands for, first of all, the S stands for spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. The Apostle Peter says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well, what for? To serve one another. See, when you become a follower of Jesus, God gives you certain spiritual gifts. Now, some of those gifts are more supernatural in nature. Others of them are more sort of natural in nature. But all of them come from God. That's part of your unique shape. You're given some spiritual gifts. The H in shape stands for heart. God has given each one of us different passions, different motivations, different interests, you know, different things that really grab our heart. I mean, have you noticed that there are certain things that really interest you, and then there are other things that bore you to death? Why is that? God did that. God did that. He gave each one of us different passions, different motivations, so that we would serve in different ways. The A in shape stands for abilities. The natural abilities that you were given the day that you were born. For example, some of you are really good with numbers. Others of you are really bad with numbers. Some of you you're really good with people. Some of you need to avoid people on a regular basis. Some of you have incredible mechanical ability. And then some of you are sort of like me, where you have difficulty changing a light bulb. That's me. Some of you have incredible singing voices. That's just an ability that God has given you. You sing like an angel. And then others of you, you're more like prison singers. Do you know what a prison singer is? It's a person who's always behind a few bars, and you can never find the right key. Some of you are prison singers. But God has given all of us different abilities, and those abilities all come from God. The P in SHAPE stands for personality. God has given each one of us a unique personality. And I think it's safe to say that God loves variety, doesn't he? Some of us have a very unique personality. Let me illustrate it this way. When you go swimming, are you one of those people that really just, you want to plunge right in, dive right in, jump right in, or whatever? Or are you more the kind of person that likes to sort of test the waters first, you know, sort of put one foot in and then maybe another one and, you know, get used to that for like 30 minutes and then, you know, go down a little bit more and so forth? How many would say that you're a plunger? You like to plunge right in. All right, how many of you would say that you're more of a wader? You like to sort of wade in. Yeah. And you know what's really funny is that almost always plungers end up marrying waders. You know, that's just the way that it happens. Another part of your personality is, you know, whether you're extroverted or whether you're introverted. Some of you are very outgoing. Some of you are extremely shy. So how many of you would say that you're more extroverted? Now, if you're not sure, you know, these tests, these personality tests, there's all kinds of different tests about this, but sort of an easy way to tell whether or not you're an extrovert or an introvert is ask yourself this question: do I get energy from being around a bunch of people? If being around a bunch of people gives me energy, then you're probably an extrovert. If being around a bunch of people drains you emotionally, you're probably more on the introverted side. So let me ask it again. How many of you would think that you're more of an extrovert? Really like to be around people. Okay, how many of you would say that you're more of an introvert? Now, the real introverts didn't even raise their hand. That's the truth. But God loves variety. He gives each one of us a different personality. The E in SHAPE stands for experience. Experiences. And the fact is, God never wastes any of our life experiences. He will use every experience in our life to help create our shape. And so the million-dollar question is this: what does God want me to do with my shape? Do you think that God's ultimate goal for your shape is that you would just make a lot of money? Well, that could be God's ultimate goal for your shape. I think for some of you, that might be. Because for some of you, that's the way God has gifted you. That's the abilities that God has given you. That's the personality that God has given you. That's the life experiences. God has gifted some of you to make a whole lot of money. But it's not just so that you would spend that money on yourself. No, not at all. God has given you all those gifts to do that, so you would use that money to help finance God's purposes in the earth. See, the main thing that God wants us to do with the shape that he's given us is to serve him and to serve others. Serve him and serve others. That's why God has given you the talents that you have and the abilities that you have, and the personality and the spiritual gifts and the life experiences, all of those things God gave you uniquely, each one of those things, so that you would do two things. You would serve him and you would serve others, because that's what you were born to do. You were born to serve. It's in your DNA. It's in my DNA. And so what I want to do is I want to look at what happens when a person begins to serve God and serve others with the unique shape that God has given them. In other words, when I begin to get the focus off of myself and I begin to be more focused on people around me and serving God and serving others, what are the benefits that come into my life when I begin to live that way? Well, the first benefit is that it creates joy in my life. When I serve, it creates joy in my life. Now, I know that is not what people naturally think. We naturally think, no, I'm going to be joyful when other people serve me. But the truth is, long-term joy comes when we give our life away. That's just the way God has gifted us. That's the way He's created us. We're born to give our life away. We're born to give our life away to something greater than ourselves. Why so many people struggle with depression is because we're not giving our life away to something greater than ourselves. And when all we can think about is ourselves, it's easy to get depressed. Because we're never really that big just in and of ourselves. But when we begin to give our life away to something greater than us, that begins to create joy. You know, if you know anybody who really loves their job, in fact, I hope all of you really love your job. But if you know somebody who really loves their job, the reason they really love their job is because almost every single day it's like Friday to them. They're almost always happy at work. And why is that? Because they're doing vocationally what they were born to do. They're doing what they were designed to do. And when we begin to give our life away to other people, we're doing what we're designed by God to do. And it brings us joy. But the fact is, most people are looking for joy. Most people are looking for happiness in all the wrong places. And we think we'll find happiness in being really successful, or we think we'll find it in our salary or in our status or you know, being popular or whatever. But ultimately, none of those things bring us lasting joy or lasting happiness. Now, they'll bring us a temporary form of joy or happiness, but at the end of the day, it's temporary. See, lasting joy does not come from getting. Like I said, lasting joy comes from giving our life away. Now, if that's true, and it is, then let me tell you the secret that's going to make this possible for you. The secret is, get the focus off of yourself. Get the focus off of yourself. And again, if we're honest, that's a very difficult thing to do, isn't it? Especially in our culture. All of us are naturally self-centered. I mean, why do you think we take so many selfies? You know, we don't have many people taking themies. You know, we're taking selfies all the time. I mean, if given a choice, we're going to think about ourselves before we think about other people. I'm going to think about me naturally before I think about you. I'm going to think about what I want before I think about what you want. And the Bible knows that that's the way that God has created us. We're created with this fallen nature of being self-centered. And so all through the Bible, God talks about the fact that we need to get out of that. We need to stop being so self-centered and go against our nature and start giving our lives away. All through the scriptures, it says that. I've just given you one example there in Philippians 2:3. Paul says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Then he says in verse 4, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. That's what God wants. Now, here's sort of what happens, you know, with this self-centeredness that all of us naturally have. We don't do this consciously, but subconsciously, we all sort of have a sign over the door of our heart that basically says, do not disturb me. You know, I have my own life, my own agenda, my own plans. I have a lot going on. I don't have time to be bothered by you and your problems. Do not disturb. That's sort of the sign we all have there. But because of the way that God has created us, That is not where we find lasting joy. We don't find lasting joy in self-centeredness. We find lasting joy by giving our life away, by serving other people. If you've ever stayed at one of those really nice hotels, you know, I'm not talking about Motel 6 or Ramada Inn. I'm talking about, you know, several steps up from that. If you've ever stopped, my wife and I, Thora, we've been blessed to stay at a, you know, at some really nice hotels many times in our life. And when you stay at one of those really nice hotels, they all have one of these people working there that's called a concierge. You know what I'm talking about? A concierge. Now, if you're not sure what a concierge does, a concierge is there simply to serve. That's all they do. They're there to help you. Now, I don't like to use a concierge. I always feel kind of weird about that. I have used one a couple of times, you know, over the years, and I almost always start out the conversation with the concierge the same way, because this is the way I feel. I'm like, you know, I don't want to bother you, but, you know, blah, 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 I need help with this, whatever the situation is. And almost every time the person says to me, Mr. Anderson, it's no bother. I love to serve you. I want to do this. And see, the same thing deep down is true for you and for me. We get joy out of serving other people. That's where lasting joy, real joy comes from, giving our life away and serving something greater than ourselves. Second benefit of serving is it improves my relationships. Now you might think, come on, Brian, how is serving going to help improve my relationships? You know how? Because the root of just about every single relationship problem that you have and that I have, the root of it is self-centeredness. Now, there are other things that come into it. But if you strip it all away and go down to the root cause of what's creating this conflict in this relationship, it's almost always self-centeredness. I want what I want. You want what you want. Neither one of us is willing to budge and give in, and so it causes conflict in our relationship. You know, one of the things I love to do in our church, out in the lobby or whatever, is I love to talk to people who have recently been married. You know, in fact, what I really like to do is get one of them, one of the spouses, kind of off to the side and talk to them about, you know, how's married life going? I don't like to do it together because they'll lie, you know. But if I get them alone, you know, the husband or the wife, hey, how's married life going? And they'll always say some really nice, glowing things at first. But when I start to really press, you know, and start to ask some pointed questions, you know, usually they'll become honest, and they'll talk about, you know, well, it's really different. He wants things this way, and I want things this way, or she wants to do things like this, and I want to do things like this. It's just, you know, really different. And now, I know none of you people who've been married for a long time can relate to any of that, you know, the differences. And so I always end up talking to these newly married people about this thing called compromise, where both parties have to give and take a little bit in order for them to work things out. And really what that's about is it's just about surrendering selfishness. That's what it's about. And those of you who have been married for a while, you know that marriage is a lifelong school of learning to be unselfish, isn't it? It never ends. It's a lifelong school of learning to be unselfish. Those of you who are parents, you know that parenting is a lifelong school of learning to be unselfish. For those of us who live in Phoenix, you know, driving in Phoenix, especially when the snowbirds arrive, you know, that's a lifelong school of learning how to be unselfish, isn't it? But see, the more we practice that, and the more we learn to get the focus off of ourselves and begin to think about somebody else and actually serve somebody else, it's going to improve every single one of our relationships. Now you might say, well, Brian, how do I learn to be more unselfish? How do I learn this? Well, it's actually very simple to learn it. It's not easy to do, but it's simple to learn. Just copy Jesus. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew 20. He says, just as the Son of Man, talking about himself, did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And then when you read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find example after example after example of Jesus serving, of Jesus giving his life away. And as you and I begin to implement those kinds of things in our own lives, we begin to see our relationships improve. Third benefit of serving is that it gives my life meaning. It gives my life meaning. Jesus says it like this in Mark 8, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake in the Gospels will save it. You know what Jesus is saying there? He's saying, if you're looking for meaning in life, if you're looking for purpose in life, here's how you get it. He says, true life comes from giving your life away. It comes from giving your life to something greater than yourself. Now, when most of us think about this, we think about, well, if I'm going to have true meaning in life, then I'm going to have to do something really big. You know, if purpose and meaning comes from giving my life away, I'm going to have to do it in a big way. And so we think about, you know, becoming a missionary and moving to Africa or relocating to Haiti or something like that. Because we think, well, if I do one of those big things, then my life will really have meaning. But you need to realize that meaning in life also comes from small things. You know, when we serve someone else, when we use the talents and the gifts and the abilities that God has given us for the sake of someone else, it all matters. In God's book, there are no small acts of service. No, it all matters. It's all big stuff. I remember a number of years ago, when our kids were maybe 5 or 6 years old, they're in 7th grade and 8th grade now. And so, you know, several years ago, and I don't remember how we got into this conversation, but one of them was asking me about preaching here, you know, on the weekends. And so one of them said something like, hey, Dad, what would happen if only 50 people showed up at church this weekend? Would you still give the message? I said, absolutely, I'd still give the message. They said, well, what about if only 25 people showed up at church? Would you still give the message? I said, certainly I'd give the message. Well, Dad, what if only 10 people showed up at church? Would you give the message? And I said, you have no idea how many messages I gave to 10 people, you know, over the years. Of course I would give the message. Well, Dad, what would happen if only one person came to church this weekend? Would you still give the message? I said, no. I'd take my wife, Thora, out on a date, because she'd be the one person that showed up that weekend. See, but the fact is, in God's book, there's no little act of service. They're all big, whether you're serving one or whether you're serving 1,000. Whether you're helping one person or you're helping 5,000 people, in God's book, it's all the same. Everything we do when we serve has meaning. Everything we do when we give our life away in any kind of way has significance. And in fact, it's often the small things that actually have the greatest significance. Let me give you a couple of examples, sort of a quiz. Do you know the name of the person who handed you the bulletin and greeted you when you walked in today? Do you know their name? Do you know the names of the people who came in early this morning and made all the free coffee that people enjoy? Do you know all their names? Do you know all the names of the people who are serving your children right now in children's ministry? Or the names of the people who are going to be serving youth in youth ministry in the second service? Do you know the names of the people who came in during the week and folded all the bulletins, thousands of them, and stuffed all the bulletins so that we'd all be able to, you know what's going on in our church this weekend? Or do you know the names of the people who came in during the week and sanitized all the toys in all of our children's ministry rooms so that when our kids came in for children's ministry this week, they would all be disinfected, they all be sanitized, nobody gets sick? Do you know the names of all the people who come in to our food bank and serve in our food and clothing bank that you know, every single week that serves over 10,000 families a year with food and clothing? See, all of that stuff is done by dedicated volunteers. It's done by people serving God in whatever way they can, knowing that almost nobody even knows their name. In fact, let me show you a short video of just a few of the things that people in our church do on a regular basis to serve God and to serve others. Let's show that video.
I got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric, wavy when I turn it on. All through my city, all through my home. We're flying up, no ceiling when we in our zone. I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it. Moving so phenomenally. Come on, lock the way we rock it. So don't stop. And under the lights when everything goes, nowhere to hide when I'm getting you close. When we move, well, you already know. So just imagine. Nothing I can see but you when you dance, dance, dance. Feel a good, good creeping up on you. So just dance. But you dance, dance, dance. And ain't nobody leaving soon, so keep dancing. I can't stop the feeling. So just dance, dance, dance. I can't stop the feeling. So just dance, dance, dance. I can't stop the feeling. So just dance.
It gives your life meaning when you give your life away. It really is a huge benefit of serving. The fourth benefit of serving is it also leaves a legacy. Leaves a legacy. And one of the things that I've learned about people over the years is that everybody wants their life to matter. Everybody wants their life to count. That's just the way that God has created us. I mean, men, women, teenagers, black, white, brown, red, green, yellow, orange, blue, does not matter. Everybody wants their life to matter. We all want to do something great with our life. And that's not a bad thing. Like I said, God put that inside of us. But here's how Jesus says that we get that. He says in Matthew 20, whoever wishes to become great among you will become your what? Servant. See, the more we serve, the more we give our life away, the greater we become. The more we serve, the more influence we end up having. You might call it the Mother Teresa syndrome. Most of you know, Mother Teresa went to the poorest of the poor in Calcutta, India. People were dying in the streets. And she began to take these people into her home, and she cared for them. She began to simply serve them when everybody else was trampling over them. And there was no fanfare in her doing this. You know, there are no YouTube videos going viral when she was doing this. She just served. She went to the least influential people in all of life, and she served them. And you know what happened? You know what God did with that? God gave her incredible influence. So much so that almost everybody in the world still knows the name Mother Teresa, and she's been dead almost 20 years. Incredible impact. I mean, her simple serving, no strings attached, left a lasting legacy. And that's what service does. Now, we never know what our legacy is going to be. But we do know this. When we serve God, when we serve others, when we give our lives away, no strings attached, expecting nothing in return, we know this. God notices. God notices. Look at it says in Hebrews 6. For God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you've worked for Him and how you've shown your love to Him. How? By caring for other believers, as you still do. See, when you serve, you're leaving a legacy in people's lives that's going to last for eternity. When you serve people in our church, or you serve people in our surrounding community, and then your act of service somewhere down the line leads them into a life-changing relationship with Jesus, man, you're not making a temporary difference. You're making an eternal difference. And the fact is, God uses our church and all the service that all of us do through our church to change people's lives all the time. He does it all the time. And this isn't about me. This is about us. It's about all of us using the gifts and the abilities and the talents and all that God has put into us to give our life away and serve other people. And as we do that, we're leaving a lasting legacy. A lasting legacy. Man, I want those of you who serve here at our church on a regular basis, I want you to know that truth. By what you do here at the Vineyard, you are leaving a lasting legacy. You may think that not a lot of people know what's going on, or people don't notice what you're doing, but God notices. And you're helping influence hundreds and hundreds of people every single year to come into a first-time saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's happening because you are serving here at our church. I mean, again, you might think that it doesn't matter, man. I want you to know, as your pastor, it matters. It really matters. More than you will ever know this side of heaven. And you will be rewarded one day for all of your service. And I just want you to know, as the, you know, one of the pastors here on our staff, that I am so proud of every single one of our volunteers. And I want you to know that we could not and we would not be the church that we are without what you do. And so from the bottom of my heart, I want to say thank you. Thank you. In fact, I want every person who serves in our church here in any capacity, I want every one of you to stand up and remain standing for a moment, because we want to publicly thank you for all the service that you rendered. Thank you. Thank you so much. You will never know this side of heaven the kind of impact that you're having in people's lives. Hundreds of people coming to Jesus Christ every single year. Hundreds and hundreds of people being baptized here for the very first time every single year. People being fed, people being clothed, people being touched, people getting closer to God, all because of what you do. May the Lord continue to bless you in your service. Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. And then those of you who, for whatever reason, you're not serving, you're part of our church family, you come here on a regular basis, maybe you're not a member yet, doesn't matter, but you're not serving, you're a regular attender here. I don't know why you're not, but we want to give you the opportunity for you to begin to experience the joy and to leave the kind of lasting legacy that so many of us are leaving because of what we're doing. And so we put a little insert in your bulletin. If you have a bulletin, we just take that out. It says, step up and serve. And on this little insert, it has all kinds of people's names and their email addresses with all the different areas of service or areas of ministry that we have at our church family. And I don't know which one or ones that you might be interested in, but look through that list. If you're not serving, look through that list and think about and pray about, what would God want me to do? Where's an area of service that I could begin to step out in? And then just send them an email and just say, you know, I'm interested in possibly serving in this. Could you get a hold of me? And, you know, let's talk and let me know kind of what this is. Or if you already know you want to serve there, then let them know that as well, and somebody will get back with you. Now, as most of you know, this is our volunteer appreciation weekend. And so as part of that, we want to thank all of our volunteers and their immediate families by giving you a free meal right after our next service, right after our 11 a.m. service, which will end about 12:15. Now, obviously, you guys are here at the first service, but we're going to have a free meal for you. I think it's going to be great. I think it's lobster and steak. I'm not sure. Or it could be hot dogs and hamburgers. Don't hold me to the lobster and steak, all right? It's going to be lots of games for the kids, lots of bounties and all. It's going to be a big party. And so for those of you that volunteer on a regular basis, man, bring your immediate family. Come back at 12:15. I'd really love to see you there. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. But I do want to say, this is not for everyone in our church family. You know, this is for our volunteers and their immediate families as a way of saying thank you. And so if you don't volunteer on a regular basis here, I don't want you to thinking, cool, free food. I'll be back at 12:15. I don't want you to do that, okay? This is for our volunteers as a way of thanking them, a very, very small way of thanking them. And so I hope I'll see all of our volunteers and your families at about 12:15. So for those of you that are not, you know, serving, please pray about it and get involved in serving in some way. It really is just a great thing to give your life away to something greater than yourself and see God impact people's lives for all of eternity. All right, let's pray together. God, we're grateful for the opportunity to give our lives to something bigger than ourselves. We thank you that you've put that in each one of us. And we're grateful, Lord, that we have a church family, a church community that we can serve in and through and bless our community around us. And as we do that, Lord, we do pray that we would leave a lasting legacy. I pray that you would continue to give us strength and wisdom and all of that in our service, Lord. And I know many times we get tired, and people get tired in their service, just in their humanness. I pray for all of those that serve here on a regular basis. Come, Holy Spirit, touch them in a very wonderful way. Let them know just how pleased you are with their service, their desire to give themselves away to you and to your kingdom, and to making a difference in our world. Lord, encourage their hearts again. Strengthen their bodies. Bless them in all that they do, Lord. And for those that are not serving, Lord, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you'd begin to give them ideas, that thoughts would come into their mind right now of a way that they are shaped, that they might like to serve in that manner. Whatever that is, just come and drop those thoughts in their mind. And then give them the, you know, sort of the courage, the fortitude to step out and say, you know, I want to do this. Where's a way that I can serve? Maybe there's something that you want to just speak to God in your heart. about in these last few moments. If that's the case, just do that. Do whatever personal spiritual business you need to do with God. Maybe it's thanking Him, or maybe it's, you know, God, I want to do this. Would you help me? Maybe you'd like to receive some prayer before you go today. Maybe you're not well physically. You know, we believe God heals people. Maybe you're feeling like you're sort of being attacked by kind of demonic stuff. We believe God can break the power of that. That God delivers people. God breaks the power of addictions over people. God gives people jobs that don't have jobs when they pray and ask. We'd love to pray for you. If you have any kind of prayer need at all, we'll have a ministry team here at the altar when we dismiss the service. And if you just want to stick around, come to the front, find one of these people, we'd love to pray for you. And if you're a guest, maybe this is your first time here, maybe you've been here for a month or two, but you've never gone to a guest welcome. We always have a guest welcome. We'll have some pastors and leaders in our information center. And we'd love for you to stop by there. Take just a couple minutes. We'd love to give you a free gift of the music CD and just answer any questions you might have. Takes very little time at all. But if you want to stop by there, we'd love to say hi and give you some information you can take with you. And then next weekend, we're going to get back to our series on the struggle between faith and doubt. And I'm going to talk about arguments against God's existence. We all have people at work or in our neighborhood or we're related to that want to argue about God's existence. You know, what does the Bible really say? How can we sort of speak to people intelligently about that, okay? So I think it'll be really helpful for us. So I hope to see you back next weekend. I want to pray a blessing over us before we go. So if everybody could please stand if you're able. And then if the ministry team would come up right now while I'm praying, that'd be great. Just receive this blessing. I believe it's from the Lord. So just receive this into your own life personally. God, thank you for each one here. And I pray that each one here, Lord, would know a little bit better just how much they matter to you. That their life matters. Their joy matters. Their pain matters. Come, Holy Spirit, touch each person in such a way that they would know in a better way just they matter to you. And as they go their separate ways, Lord, as their pastor, I ask that you would bless their bodies, bless them, their spirits, their minds, their emotions. Bless them, keep them. Cause your face, O God, to shine upon them. Be gracious to them. Lift up your favor to each one of them, Lord, and give them your peace. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Hey, say hi to some people around you on your way out. If you don't know them, introduce yourself. Have a great rest of your day. You volunteers, hope to see you back at 12:15.